Good morning and welcome to day zero of the 2023 Florida legislative session. This is Casey Cook. I am the Chief of Legislative Affairs for the Florida League of Cities, and this is the first Monday morning call-in. As you all know, tomorrow is day one of legislative session. So legislative session this year runs from March 7th to May 5th. For those that are new to the call-in, we start the call with each of the lobbyists discussing the key bills they're working this week and in weeks ahead, and where we need your help. Once the lobbyists have shared their updates, we'll open the call for questions. If you'd like to ask a question, press star 9 on your phone. As a reminder, this call is being recorded, and an email will go out afterwards with a summary of today's call, as well as a link to the call's recording. Please note, we're getting a little bit of background noise right now, and so if each of you would mute your own lines, that would be appreciated so we can be as efficient as possible and not have the call interrupted with background chatter. This is a 30-minute call, and it's not possible to cover every single bill out there that we're following or working on. But if there's a bill that we haven't mentioned, please ask about it during the Q&A portion of the call. For a comprehensive list of the bills that are out there during session that we're actively monitoring and working on, go to flcities.com, hover your mouse over the advocacy tab. When that drop-down menu comes down, you will see a bill summaries button. Click on that, and that's going to be all of the bills that we're watching this legislative session. With that as the introduction, I'll turn it over to David Cruz to go first.
Thank you, Casey, and good morning, everybody. This is David Cruz. I am a Deputy General Counsel and Legislative Counsel for the Florida League of Cities. And it is great to be speaking with you this morning. Just wanted to give a quick background as we jump into bills this morning, that at this point, because of the way that public notices work, we do not know what bills are going to be heard in the House for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I would also want to add that at this point in session, that the legislature has actually fallen quite behind schedule or on pace to where they've been in past years. And that's quite evident given the fact that they've scheduled for committee meetings on Fridays. Usually for the first couple weeks of sessions, Fridays are usually an off day for legislators as they travel back to their districts. But we have a Friday with several committee meetings scheduled early in session already. So with that said, I wanted to touch on two bills this morning that I wanted to put on your radar if they're not there already. And the first one that is incredibly important to all of our members deals with sovereign immunity. And this is House Bill 401 by Representative Beltran and Senate Bill 604 by Senator Gruters. So some good news to start off with is that these bills will not be considered this week. We know that the committee agendas for the committees that they're in right now have come out and that these bills are not going to be considered this week. But the important thing to remember is that these will likely be coming up shortly, and so I could really appreciate some work on these. Specifically, what these bills do is they increase the sovereign immunity caps for cities and all government entities in Florida. Under current law, these caps are set at $200,000 per person, $300,000 per incident. The House bill has taken a very aggressive path in increasing these caps, and it has currently been amended to increase caps to $2.5 million per person, $5 million per incident, a significant increase from current state law. As a matter of fact, if these were to become law, Florida would have the highest caps out of any state that has caps in the country. So a very disturbing move by the House to increase them by that amount. The Senate bill is more reasonable. That's Senate Bill 604 by Senator Gruters. And the increase in that bill is currently set at $400,000 per person and $600,000 per incident. The House bill has been heard in its first bill, first committee of reference, and has passed and is now waiting to be considered by the full House Appropriations Committee. This is an extremely large committee. It has 35 members that sit on that committee, and we could really appreciate reaching out to those committee members if you have a state representative that sits on the full House Appropriations Committee. And the message would be to please inform them of the impact that this bill would have to your city if the caps were increased to $2.5 million per person, $5 million per incident. Specifically, if you could list examples of egregious claims that your city has had to defend and the impact that this might have to your budget, specifically increases to insurance premiums, or if you self-insure, what this might do to your reinsurance or your city budgets in general. Moving on to the next pair of bills that I wanted to cover this morning. These bills deal with mobility funding, and these are actually a priority of the Florida League of Cities that were adopted through the Land Use and Economic Development Committee. And these bills are supported by the Florida League of Cities. So the first bill is House Bill 235 by Representative Will Robinson and Senate Bill 350 by Senator Broder. House Bill 235 is waiting to be heard in its first committee of reference, and that's the Local Admin and Federal Affairs and Special District Subcommittee. And that committee is chaired by Representative Persons Maleka. They're scheduled to meet on Friday of this week. We do not know the agenda yet. We could certainly use some help reaching out to Chairwoman Persons Maleka and letting her know that we would love to get that bill heard in committee and to please put it on her upcoming agenda. Essentially, what these bills would do is that they would go ahead and provide much needed clarity to cities that are looking to implement mobility fees and move away from impact fees. It would specifically add clarity as to any conflict that might occur between cities and counties when a county is charging an impact fee, but the city has moved to a mobility-based fee system. So we certainly support that portion of the bill. I did want to add that there is a portion of the bill that we are working to get some clarity on and perhaps amend out of the bill dealing with impact fees, specifically that it would prohibit cities from increasing impact fees higher than a certain amount if they have exigent circumstances, and so we are working on that part of your bill. So that's a recap of the mobility fee system, and with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Jeff Branch.
Before we go to Jeff, I'd like to, I know folks are multitasking when they're listening to the conference call. If you look down at your phone and tap the mute button, we hear some background noises. If you're unloading the dishwasher, hanging some pictures in your office, or other stuff that's generally a little bit noisy, make sure your phone's muted. The mute feature on our conference call system doesn't appear to be working right now. And so just if you take a second and look down at your phone, press that mute button, that would be appreciated. Jeff, take it away.
Thank you, Casey, and thank you to all you all for joining us today and pressing the mute button. I would like to echo the sentiments of David Cruz.
We are on this conference call. Can you call her?
Thank you. I'll start over again. Thank you again for pressing the mute button. Just like David says, we're still awaiting some of the agendas from some of the committees to be heard this week. But I want to talk about a bill that we're anticipating up in the next couple of weeks. It's House Bill 671. The Senate committee by Representative Esposito, Senate Bill 8682 by Senator DeSigley, dealing with residential building permits. We are opposed to the bill. The first committee of reference when the bill is agenda on the House side is Regulatory Reform and Economic Development Subcommittee. The chair is Rep. Tyler Ferroys, and the vice chair is Rep. Lauren Mello. And on that Senate bill, the first committee of reference when it's agenda is Community Affairs, and the chair is Senator Alexis Calalou. This bill will completely overhaul your residential permitting process by drastically reducing all of the time frames in each step of your permit process. If you fail to meet the time frames, then the bill calls for the application to be deemed approved. And so my ask for you is, one, to look at both of those committees and see if any of those members are in your delegation, and talk about the impacts of that bill. If you are, if the chair is in your delegation on each of the committees, ask them in their to not hear the bill in the current form. We will send out a side-by-side of current law and the new proposed changes. I would ask that you take a look and in the column send back any of your comments, track change them, any of your comments. We are anticipating meeting with the House sponsor this week, and so I'll know more on the impetus of this bill and what she's willing or not willing to change. And so, again, House Bill 671, Senate Bill 682, please take a look at this bill and share with me the impacts, but more importantly, share with the members of the committee the impacts as a result if this bill passes in its current form. With that, I will hand it over to Rebecca.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning, everybody. Like most people here in the room, I don't have any bills that have been released on any agendas for the week as of yet. So I'm going to bring your attention to a couple of bills that are keeping me awake at night. And starting with two dealing with solid waste management, House Bill 975 by Representative Holcomb and Senate Bill 798 by Senator Angolia. What these bills would do is they would prohibit a city from having an exclusive franchise agreement for solid waste services. It would also, by nature of the bill's language, prevent any city from providing its own solid waste services as well. And this would apply to commercial, industrial, or multifamily residential properties. In addition, the bill would also cap the amount of any franchise fee, license fee, or permit fee you impose on a solid waste provider, whether you have a non-exclusive system or an exclusive system. It would cap those fees to the administrative cost of issuing the permit or the license. That would be a significant fiscal impact on many of you. We've surveyed some of you of the 28 cities we've gotten fiscal information from. It's going to be a $51 million hit for those cities in the aggregate. I can imagine if all of the other cities in the state were to determine what the fiscal impact would be, it would be in the multi hundreds of millions. These bills have been referred to committee. The first committee of reference for Senate Bill 798 by Angolia is the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee, chaired by Senator Rodriguez. The House bill has been referred to its first committee of reference, which will be the Local Administration Committee, chaired by Representative Persons Malika. Another area that I'm looking at deals with the extraterritorial surcharge for municipal utilities and also transfers of utility revenues to general fund. We've been waiting for bills to be filed on this subject, and just last week, two were filed. If you have an electric utility, you'll want to be very concerned about both of the bills I'm about to talk about. And if you have a water utility, then you're going to be concerned with one of them. I expect that if these bills move, they will be amended to look more alike. But I'm going to talk about the Senate bill first, which deals only with electric utilities. Senate Bill 1380 by Senator Martin. What this bill does is it would provide that if a municipal electric utility is serving customers outside of the municipal corporate boundaries, that utility would then be subject to regulation by the Public Service Commission. The House bill, which is broader than the Senate bill, is House Bill 1331 by Representative Visada Cabrera. This bill still deals with water utilities as well as electric utilities. It imposes limitations on extraterritorial surcharges by both electric and water and wastewater utilities. It caps the amount and it requires the percentage of that surcharge to be based on the percentage of customers that are served outside of the municipal boundaries. The bill also imposes requirements on the transfer of utility revenues to the general fund. It puts a limitation on the amount, and it also provides that the amount must be used for utility purposes, or the municipality would lose state funding for water and infrastructure. The amount of transfer will be different based on whether or not extraterritorial services provided, and I won't go into details because it would take too long, but the amount of the transfer also importantly would have to be approved by a voter referendum, both by voters in your city and any voters outside of your corporate boundaries that you provide service to. Lastly, this bill would subject both water and wastewater utilities and electric utilities to regulation by the Public Service Commission. These bills were both filed last week. They have not yet been referred to committee. I would remember to ask you to please mute your phone if you haven't done so already. We're still getting some background noise. The last bills I'm going to talk about deal with land and water management. Thank you for muting. Senate Bill 1240 by Senator Burgess. And House Bill 1197 by Representative Maggard. These bills would prohibit cities and counties from regulating any aspect of water quality, water quantity, pollution control, pollutant discharge, or wetlands. These bills were filed just last week, and they haven't yet been referred to committee, but they are definitely draconian in nature. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tara Chilton.
And just a reminder, if you, we're continue to get background noise and continue to hear some conversations, if you would just take a second, mute your phone.
All right. Thank you, Rebecca, and good morning, everyone. We appreciate your patience, and thank you again for muting. Happy week one of session. So a couple bills I want to talk about with you all today. The first one is up tomorrow in the Senate Regulated Industries Committee, back again for another year dealing with vacation rentals. This year, the bill is filed by Senator DeSigley from the Tampa area, and we are currently monitoring this bill. A brief summary of what it does, it is setting what local registration programs can look like and the things that local governments can ask for as part of that local registration program. It's putting some new enforcement requirements on the Department of Business and Professional Regulations, or DBPR. It's also placing new accountability measures on the platform. If you're a grandfathered city, it maintains that grandfather in place, but clarifies you can amend your ordinance to be less restrictive. Really, three big changes that we would like to see made in this bill, or three main changes that we would like to see made in this bill. The bill currently caps what the fee that local governments can charge as $50 for an individual property or $100 for a collective registration. We feel that local governments should be able to charge what it costs to run the program, as well as cover those inspection costs. The bill does not currently allow for local occupancy limits. We feel that those are important for both secondary impacts, those that relates to parking, trash, you know, general disruption in your neighborhood. We would like to either maintain the authority to have occupancy limits or see a statewide occupancy limit put in place. And then the last one on this piece is the enforcement measures on DBPR. We would like to see that language strengthened in the bill because in order for this whole new regulatory structure to work, DBPR has to have the tools and the ability to enforce the license suspensions or revoke. So the main ask is to reach out to members of the Senate Regulated Industry Committees and communicate that these are the three changes local governments need to see made in the bill to make it better for our communities. Second bill I want to talk about is also up tomorrow. It is in the House State Administration and Technology Appropriations Committee. It's House Bill 415 by Representative Porras. We're currently monitoring this bill, and the committee is chaired by Representative Busada Cabrera. What this bill does is dealing with temporary commercial kitchens, or ghost kitchens as they are sometimes referred to. What the bill is currently doing is, as it's currently filed, it's preempting the registration, permitting, and licensing of these kitchens to the state. Clarifies that local governments cannot outright ban them from their jurisdiction, but other than those handful of things, you would be able to regulate. Currently, would place those into the same regulatory structure we have now as food trucks, which many of you are probably familiar with. The active members right now, we're actively working with stakeholders to place an amendment on this bill that would clarify that they must also follow all other food establishments regulations that are in current law, as well as placing some limitations on how long they may be able to operate. They currently define them as temporary, but does not currently place any sort of day limits on how long they can be in one spot. So my ask of you all is to review this bill and provide any feedback or comments your city may have. And with that, I'm going to toss it over to Charles.
Well, happy Monday morning, everybody. Thank you all who took a quick second to mute your lines. It seems like it's getting better, but if you haven't, just take a quick look and make sure your line is muted. We appreciate it. Again, like many others, this is the first week we in finance and tax world. We don't have anything on any committee agendas this week as of yet. The House still has some publication deadlines that are forthcoming, so we'll keep you informed as things progress. I wanted to talk about two bills, one that you've probably heard a little bit about from us already. That is Senate Bill 120, Senate Joint Resolution 122 by Senator Avila, and then House Joint Resolution 469. House Bill 471 by Fernandez-Barkin. This is the constitutional amendment that would be placed on the ballot in 2024 that would reduce homestead exemptions percent increases from the 3% cap or CPI, which is the Consumer Price Index, to 2% or Consumer Price Index. This bill has been heard once already in the Senate and is referred Committee of Community Affairs. It is now in Finance and Tax, which is chaired by Senator Engolia. It has not been heard as of yet in the House. Its first stop would be in the Ways and Means Committee, which is chaired by Representative McClain. Our ask of you is to continue help us telling your story. Contact your legislative delegation and express to them what a 3% to 2% reduction would do to your budget. We recognize and have been highlighting for the members that some of our cities have just now started to come back from the 2008 recession and that revenues have just started to climb back. We do understand inflation is high. Interest rates are high, but guess what? That doesn't affect the private property owners. That affects local governments too. So we would appreciate your help in continuing to tell the story to your legislative delegations about how a 3% in homestead property valuations dropping to 2% would impact your budget. The second item was a bill that just was filed last week, and it has to deal with communication services tax. The bill reference numbers are House Bill 1153 by Representative Steele and Senate Bill 1432 by Senator Trumbull. We are in opposition to this bill. We're still working through all of the different analysis, but to just kind of hit the highlights of what it does, on the state percentage side of the communication services tax, it's currently at 4.92%. This bill would drop it to 3.48% for a difference of 1.4% and a reduction on the state side of the communication services tax. On the local side of the communication services tax, it would freeze collections as of January 1, 2023 to January 1, 2026 for 3 years. In addition to that, there is language that would prohibit the levying of franchise fees for the location of these types of utilities in the right-of-way. The ask of all of you is to please, please bring this to the attention of your city manager, your finance director. We're looking for stories and illustrations of how this change would impact your budget. And within those stories, please tell us, how do you use your communication services tax? Many folks leverage that to be able to get financing through bonds. So if you've committed your percentages to debt service, we'd love to know if that debt service is still active, how many years you have left, and what do you use it for. And if you use the communication service tax revenue to underwrite your operations, please let us know what budgets that communication service tax helps to underwrite. So please stay tuned on those two bills. And with that, I'll kick it back over to Casey.
Thank you, Charles.
We're going to transition into the question and answer portion of the call. As a reminder for the group, if you'd like to ask a question, press *9 on your phone. That's the hand raising feature. It'll flag it in our system and we'll recognize you in the queue as we receive questions. And so with that, we have our first question.
Yes, hi, Scott Singer, Mayor of Boca Raton. We did not
Mayor, how you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. We did not discuss Senate Bill 102, which contains, as written, a preemption of all municipalities' regulation of certain housing that contains affordable housing in all commercial areas. This is so incredibly broad, I struggle to understand why certain sponsors would introduce it given their political leanings. I'm hearing the Senate bill is locked and loaded and will not be altered in any way. Do we have any help in the House that that this preemption part might be modified or stricken in any way? I can't foresee that people are really envisioning maximum density and maximum height in municipalities throughout this country, throughout the state, just because they're commercial areas.
Thank you, Mayor. That's a great question. I'll turn it to Jeff Branch. He's been point on that. But before I do, just some important background. SB 102 is the priority of Senate President Kathleen Pasademo. This is a comprehensive housing bill attempting to address the workforce housing shortage that we have in the state of Florida. And I think potentially this is seen as a model that could be used by other parts of the country as well. There is good and probably there's some good and some bad in the bill. The good is that it fully funds the Affordable Housing Trust Funds, SHIP and SALE. There are a couple pieces, though, in that bill that are objectionable. The League has been engaged early and often. Over the summer, we had several meetings with the Senate President's office and her key team members and have been working to try to address some of those issues. The specific provision that you're referring to is essentially a preemption for commercial or industrial properties if a developer comes in and builds a structure that has at least 40% of the units set aside for affordable housing. Early versions of that had those percentages at 10 and 20%. And so the fact that it's gone up to 40%, I think, is an acknowledgement of some of the work that we put in on the front end here. Knowing that it's the Senate President's priority, the bill is not going to change, or I would put that at a very low probability that it would change in the Senate. The House is a completely different animal. But I still think that this has been projected as her most important issue. And so I would think that the House would be reluctant to make any changes because I'm sure that, as you know, horse trading is a part of this process. There is something equally as important to members of the House that they would like to see pass unamended through the Senate. But Jeff, do you have any more comments on that?
You did a great job.
All right. So, Mayor, we flagged that issue. It's one of the issues that we've raised in both our meetings with legislators, both Senate and House members, and the Senate President's office. Every piece of legislation has some good and bad in it. I do think that if it becomes a problem in the future, we will have real-world examples that we can point to try to amend that later on. Next question.
Hi, this is Eric Girard, Commissioner, City of Largo. This question's for Rebecca on HB 975 and SB 798, solid waste. Our city, of course, provides full solid waste and recycling services. It's an enterprise fund. Did I hear you correctly? Because I did not see that in the bill, that in addition to preventing cities from restricting private solid waste providers from entering the city, that it also prevents the city from providing its own solid waste service, which of course is ridiculous. Did I hear that wrong, or is that really in the bill? I didn't see it there.
Thank you. That's a great question. It is not expressly in the bill, but if you read the very first sentence of the bill, it says the city can't prohibit or restrict a private vendor from providing these services to a commercial, industrial, or multifamily residential area. If your city is currently providing services to any of those areas, you would not be able to restrict a private provider from coming in and, I guess, you know, sort of poaching in on your turf, almost to the exclusion of everything that you're doing. So would it be practical for you to continue to provide those services to only a handful of properties if a private provider would rather do it than you? Probably not. So practically speaking, it does have the effect of making a city unable to provide services itself.
Thanks, Rebecca. Yeah, I did consider that when I was reading it. So we have a full-on department that's an enterprise fund, and our massive investment in this, of course, would be destroyed. Can you give me any help on what kind of work the FLC is doing? And of course, I called this to our city manager's attention right away to try to tone down or even just drop this bill. Is there any hope of it?
Well, it's early yet. We are obviously working very hard on these bills because they're quite important to us. One thing that would be worth doing is taking a look at the legislators that are on those first committees of reference. So for the
right.
Senate bill, it's Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee. And I'm looking to see if you've got anybody. I don't think your city has anybody on that committee, but obviously reaching out to the chair of the committee to let her know of your city's concern, even if you're not in her mm-hmm. district, would be really important. Also in the House bill, which is 975, has been referred to the local administration committee. I don't have a list of committee members because that's a large committee. But if you mm-hmm. have any legislator that sits on that committee, I would reach out to both your representative as well as the committee chair, and then also just let anybody in your legislative delegation know that this bill is out there and what it will do to you. I think the more chatter we can generate on the bill and its impact, the more relevance and the more weight legislators will give it.
Yeah, well, thanks, Rebecca. And of course, Pinellas County has a lot of municipalities that have their own solid waste service, so we'll certainly get this out through our Suncoast League and others. Thanks so much. This is a crazy, crazy bill. So thank you.
And Rebecca makes a good point there, is that, you know, the lobbying strategy here is to keep bills off agendas. We have supermajorities in both the House and the Senate. Very rarely do bills die in committees. Bills are killed by not getting put on an agenda. And that happens from peer-to-peer lobbying. And so if you have a relationship with your legislator, let them know that this is a big deal for your city. Ask them to go to the chair of that committee and say, I've got some serious reservations about this, some serious objections to this bill. Please don't put this on the agenda. This is going to be a major issue for my community. And it's also going to take up a lot of agenda time. If you think about it from the perspective of the chair of the committee, you want to make as many people happy as possible. You make them happy by hearing bills and hearing a large number of bills. If given a choice of taking an hour of meeting time and hearing one bill that makes one person happy or 15 that makes 15 people happy, it's an easy choice for many chairs. But ultimately, they need to hear from their peers that these bills are going to be a time suck, and they're also going to be contentious, and they're going to put us in awkward positions. And so please don't put this bill on the agenda. Let's hear some other legislation instead. Thank you, Mayor, or thank you, Commissioner. Next question.
Yes. So this is Robert Anderson, represented with the City of Fort Walton Beach. We're looking at a bill, House Bill 815, introduced by Representative Manny, and essentially requiring cities to pay special fire districts up to 15 years. I believe the first proposal last year was in perpetuity, which obviously you know, would create a problem, but now it's back down to 15 years. Have we looked into that by any chance? And would that set precedents for additional cities throughout the state?
Thank you, sir. And that's a great question. And so you're referring to House Bill 815, which is a local bill. The league does not weigh in on local bills because that is specifically impacting your area. We've been in contact with, we've had multiple meetings with Rep. Maney. He brought that up in the meetings. And we've also, I think, talked to folks from Fort Walton Beach as well. This is, I hopefully will not go anywhere. I suspect that it's an attempt to force some negotiations at the local level. It's one that's on our radar. We are certainly available if you want to brainstorm next steps specifically for the city of Fort Walton Beach, but the league does not engage in local bills and advocacy for or against local bills, but we're certainly happy to talk with you and provide some perspective as or advice on how we see it and ways that you can go about stopping that bill.
Great.
Next question. Going once. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Commissioner Stewart in Orlando, Florida.
Commissioner, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, listen, two quick things. One is I didn't get the Senate bill or House bill number on vacation rentals. I missed that somehow.
Thank you, Commissioner, for that question. So the Senate bill number is Senate Bill 714, and then that House bill number is House Bill 833. By Representative Dugan.
714-833?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And second question, when you're looking, I'm sorry, I apologize. I'm trying to figure out how to communicate directly to the team, and so I'm asking kind of arbitrarily, can we get a list of the team members in writing who's handling what so we can communicate directly to them if that's what you would like to do or run it through however you want us to do that?
Yeah, no, great question. And so a couple things. If you go to the advocacy tab on our website and hover down and go to the bill summaries portion, every single bill is going to have the point lobbyist last name at the tail end of that bill summary. And it'll be hyperlinked, I believe, to their email address. The second thing we can do is when we send out the summary of this call, we can put the contact information for each of our team members. And even on the bills that we've talked about today, who the point person is on the FLC team, so you can reach out to them directly. I think that's probably the most efficient way to go about it, and hopefully we'll accomplish, get you the information you're looking for, Commissioner. Thank you for
Perfect.
Asking that.
Thanks.
All right. Well, day zero, first phone call of the year. We're going to have a successful legislative session, but the only way we're going to have a successful legislation is if you stay actively engaged and involved, track what's going on in Tallahassee. This is the worst part of the process. There are 1,619 bills filed to date. There may be a couple more that get filed today, but everything is alive starting today. And as we move closer to May 5th, the number of bills that are still available to be heard or are alive, that number continues to get smaller. So we take every bill that's filed seriously. It is a potential threat. We will keep you updated through these Monday morning call-ins. We will update our legislative bill summaries every Friday. So if you want to stay to see how a bill has been amended, you can go check our website Friday afternoon or Saturday. to see the latest status update or what that bill looks like. The final thing we'll do is we'll send out a document called On Tap at the Cap. On Tap at the Cap is a high-level summary of what happened the past week and a look ahead to the next week for FLC's legislative activities. It's a great way to find out what the big stuff is and where it's moving in the process. If you're interested in receiving On Tap at the Capitol, please send Mary Edenfield an email, MEDENFIELD at flcities.com, MEDENFIELD@flcities.com. Folks, thank you for joining us today. Stay engaged. We'll see you back next Monday morning at 9 a.m. Have a great week.